मुखं करोति वाचालं भंगुं लंघायति गिरिं यत्कृपात्तमहं वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवम्। I salute Krishna, the embodiment of supreme bliss, by whose grace the lame scale mountain and the dumb become eloquent. May Krishna be the guide of our life. भगवद गीता सिक्स चैप्टर ध्यान योग द पैथ ऑफ मेडिटेशन। टुनाइट वी शैल फिनिश द सिक्स चैप्टर ऑफ द गीता। टू वर्सेस आर लेफ्ट, आई कुड नॉट कवर लास्ट टाइम एंड टुनाइट इज आवर लास्ट क्लास इन दिस सेशन। आफ्टर फिनिशिंग दिस टू वर्सेस आई शैल सम अप the first six chapters of the Bhagavad Gita. I told you previously, this Bhagavad Gita consists of 18 chapters. The first six chapters, in the first six chapters, Krishna purified the word Tvam, the Jivatma, individual soul. And from 7th to 12th chapters, he explained the mystery of Tat means Brahman, you and Brahman. And the next 6 chapters, means 13th to 18th, he mentioned the doubt that you are Brahman. You are Brahman, look, you are thinking that you are an individual being, individual soul, but really you are Brahman. That he explained in the first 6 chapters. Next 6 chapters, he described the Supreme Being. Vasudeva Sarvamiti Samahatma Sudurlabha. That person is blessed indeed who sees Vasudeva, means Krishna, in all beings. He is Brahman. And the next 6 chapters, doubt that. Anyhow, verse 46. Tapasibhyo adhiko yogi, gyanibhyo pi mato adhika, karmibhyo adhiko yogi, tasmat yogi bhavarjuna. Krishna wants that Arjuna should be a yogi first. Then you go and enter the world. You will never be contaminated by worldliness. You will never be entangled by Maya. You will never suffer from worry and anxiety. You will get bliss. You see, Sri Ramakrishna said, first be butter and then float in this world. If milk and water are side by side, they will mix together. Means you will mixed up by Maya. Consciousness and unconsciousness, ignorance and knowledge are mixed up. But if you churn the milk, then on the top the butter will come up and it will float. And that butter never be contaminated by water. It will always flow. So have devotion, have love for God. First be a yogi, then enter the world. That Krishna wants so that Arjuna can get peace. Sukham ashnute, if you be a yogi, you will get infinite bliss in your life. So he made a program for Arjuna from first chapter to 6 chapters. You see, the name of the first chapter is Vishada Yoga, the chapter of grief. I'm going to explain this thing to you. And this last chapter is Moksha Yoga, the chapter of liberation. So Krishna built 18 steps to take Arjuna from the lowest plane to the highest plane. You see, you cannot jump from first step to 18th, on the 18th step, all of a sudden, you will have to go gradually. So he made a regular program for Arjuna. And he knows very well this program will work. Because he is Yogeshwara, he is the God of the yogis. He is Jnani, he is God himself. He knows what is good for human beings because he loves them. He says, Priyatamosi, Shakhaosi, you are my, not only you are my cousin, but I love you. You are my friend, you are my disciple. So I shall not hide anything. Because you see, I shall not have to suffer from competition. So I shall give you whatever I have to you, all my spiritual heritage. Krishna says, the yogi is greater than men of austerities, greater than men of knowledge, greater than men of action. Therefore, be a yogi. What type of yogi he meant here? Dhyana yogi, a man of meditation. Why do you, Krishna said, man of meditation? Because meditation, if you are a kormi, you are a worker, you need the help of meditation. If you are a devotee, lover of God, you also need the help of meditation. You are a jnani, follower of knowledge, who discriminates between the real and unreal. You also need the help of meditation. Meditation is needed by all yogis. So he said, be a yogi. Tapasyebhyo adhiko yogi tapasya means austerity. Tapas comes from the root word tapas, tapa, heat. If you practice meditation, spiritual discipline, some heat will generate within you. It is bound to be. If you take a matchstick and continuously rub with another piece, the heat will generate and it will spark. The spark will come, light will come. Similarly, meditation is such a technique or a process that if you constantly practice it, you will find your mind will be illumined. All great achievement is possible through practicing austerity. You see, all success comes through austerity. If you are a successful businessman, successful doctor, successful engineer, you need tapasya, austerity. All great scientists are great tapasya, great men of austerity. They practice so hard, forgetting their body, forgetting their comfort, forgetting their family. They are engaged in that one-pointed action. I remember one of our Swamis used to tell a story. One monk became proud. His name was Vishwamitra, the great sage Vishwamitra. He practiced austerity 20,000 years. Of course, you see, our Puranic years go in a different way. And he was proud of his austerity. He went to another holy man, and that holy man said, well, you are not yet perfect. You go to Vasuki, he will give you a lesson. He will give me a lesson. Who is Vasuki? According to Hindu mythology, Vasuki is the thousand-hooded snake who is carrying the whole universe on his shoulder. So, Vishwamitra went to Vasuki and said to him, please give me some instruction. I was told that you can give me an instruction about Brahman. Vasuki said, are you crazy? Don't you see what a heavy weight is on my shoulder? How can I give you instruction right now? Vishwamitra said, I have a power. I shall give you my 10,000 years of tapasya, and I shall build a column which will uphold this weight of the universe. So when he gave his that power, that a big column came which held the weight of the universe, and Vasuki was about to give the instruction. At that time the pillar was started to sink, and you see the whole creation will be destroyed. So Vasuki said to him, oof, what are you doing? What are you doing? Immediately he gave his shoulder and, you know, took the weight of the universe. Now, the 10,000 years of spiritual discipline could not hold the weight of the universe. Then he said, all right, I shall give you my 20,000 years of spiritual result of spiritual discipline. Let there be two columns. Again, the same thing happened. Then Vasuki understood, no, I could not attain that perfection due to my ego. You see, I am a tapasya, I am a great sadhu, I meditate 15 hours a day. Ego, big ego, spiritual ego, very difficult to remove that ego. I am very good. There are so many stories. Once another Swami told a story. There was a devotee of Shiva. One day accidentally his finger was cut and water came out. And he was so happy that I have attained the Supreme. You know, blood is supposed to come out from human body, but water came out. He said that I live on dry leaves. Even my blood has become water. So he was very happy. Then Lord Shiva appeared before him in disguise of a Brahmin and said, what happened to you? Tunga, name of that sage is Tunga. What happened? Lord, I have attained the highest. No, he did not say he was Lord because Shiva came in disguise. He said, well, look, my finger is cut, water came out, not blood. So I am a great tapasya. Great man of austerity. Shiva said, that, you know, this guy Shiva said, is that so? So he took a sharp, some blade and cut it. And he said, ashes came out from his finger. Water came out from his finger, look, ashes came out. That is the way Shiva removed the ego of that devotee. You see, Indian folklore is full of these stories. Do you know why? That is the way they counteract their ego. Don't be proud. Go on in spiritual disciplines. When perfection, when heart filleth, mouth speaketh, don't be proud. When the fireflies give light in the evening, when the stars rise, the fireflies' light fades. The light of the firefly fades. When the moon rises, the light of the stars fade. When the sun rises, the moonlight fades. You see, there is higher than higher than higher things. Next, Ganibhyopi Matodhikva. To me, Kriya Arjuna, listen. A yogi, man of meditation, is higher than Jnani. Jnani means, don't think, man of illumination. Here, Jnani means scholar, who has the knowledge of the scripture. Third, Kodmi Bhishyo Adhiko Yogi. Kodmi means he who does action according to the scripture. For example, I am performing sacrifice, ritual, for a motive, I want to go to heaven. Or I can do some philanthropic activities. I can dig well by the side of a highway so that the travelers can get drinking water. I can plant trees also by the side of the road so that the people can get shade. These are called ishtaputta karma, good philanthropic activities. I can build a hospital. I can build a road. That is also philanthropic activities. Krishna says, this yogi, a man of meditation, is higher than worker, is higher than a man of austerity, is higher than the scholars. So, be a yogi. Who is this yogi? Krishna says, 27-32. Supreme bliss come to the yogi, whose mind is completely tranquil and whose passions are quieted, who is free from stain and who has become one with Brahman. Thus making his self ever steadfast, the yogi, freed from sins, easily enjoys the touch of Brahman, which is exceedingly bliss. with the heart concentrated by yoga, viewing all things with equal regard, he beholds himself in all beings and all beings in himself. He who sees me everywhere and sees everything in me, to him I am never lost, nor is he ever lost to me. He who, having been established in oneness, worships me, dwelling in all beings, that yogi, in whatever way he leads his life, lives in me. How him I hold to be the supreme yogi, O Arjuna, who looks on the pleasure and pain of all beings as he looks on them in himself. This is the way Krishna described the nature of a yogi who is a man of meditation. Next verse. Yoginam api sarvesham madgatinantaratmana shraddhavan bhajati yomam sami yukta tamo mataha. All yogis, the one who worships me with faith, his inmost self abiding in me, him do I hold to be the most closely united with me in yoga. Yoginam api sarvesham madgatina antara atmana same yukta tamo mata. He says, you see, you may meditate, but if you have no love for God, that meditation becomes dry. Krishna wants to bring a little devotion. He wants to make a mixture. You see, Gita, the message of the Gita is the synthesis of yogas. I told you, Krishna, in the third chapter, in the second chapter, he built a column, huge column. In the second chapter, name of that column is the column of jnana, knowledge, Shankha Yoga. Huge, very high, 72 shlokas. And he eulogized that, what a, Arjuna, look, what a beautiful column I made. Arjuna was confused. While building that column, Krishna time to time talked about karma also. So he was thinking, Lord, build this column, showed me, and he talked about karma also, that you do your own karma, own duty. If this is good, why should I do my duty? Why should I fight? I shall stick to this one. I shall be the follower of the path of knowledge. Why should I work? It is lower thing. You see, when you go to work, you have so many problems. You will have to get along with the people. It is a big headache, so much responsibility. You bring work at home. Sometimes you are worried at night time, you don't get sleep. If some problem comes, your work is always headache. And it is not easy to become a commander-in-chief of 7 million armies, soldiers. He is the top man. He was really disturbed. Then Krishna, he noticed, he said, Vyamishrine iva vakyena buddhiṃ mahayasi iva me. You are confusing me. Tell me one, either do this or do that. I cannot do both. So, all right, let me build another column for you. So, Krishna started to build another column in the third chapter. That column is the path of action, karma yoga. He built that big column. Then Krishna, Arjuna was thinking, well, if my goal is heaven, then one step is fine. Why Krishna is building two steps? It is useless. You are misusing your time, energy, money. You know, it is $1 billion project, you see. You are building this another column. One column is quite sufficient to reach heaven. Two steps, you know, you are building one after another. Arjuna did not know what was in Krishna's mind. What did he do? He built our St. Louis arch. He brought devotion and connected two columns so that you can enjoy both sides. From go from this side, go to the other side, get into this side and go to the other side, enjoy the whole game. Both knowledge and action through devotion. This is the beauty of the Gita. Krishna reconciled these two paths and connected with devotion. Now Krishna says, Yoginam api sarvesham madgati nantaratmana shraddhavan bhajate yomam same yukto tamo mataha. You see, there are various kinds of yogis. Krishna, let me tell you, Arjuna. But this yogi is, to me, is the supreme, the best. Who meditates at the same time thinks of me. Means he has really love for me. Sri Ramakrishna told two stories from the Ramayana. Once these two brothers, Rama and Lakshmana, was searching for Sita, their wife, who was kidnapped by Ravana, the great demon. They came near the lake Pampa. They had bows and arrows. So they put the bows and arrows on the bank of the river, on the shore of the lake Pampa. And Rama put the arrow, you know, under the ground. And they went to drink water. And when he took out that arrow, he saw blood. What is the matter? Then he saw that it was a muddy place. He saw underground there was a frog. So immediately Rama lifted that frog and said, Why did you not shout? Then I would not kill you. Why did you not shout? You kept quiet, so you are wounded, you are almost killed. The frog said, Oh Rama, when other people attack me, I cry, I seek help from Rama. When Rama himself kills me, from whom shall I seek help? You are my beloved. You are God, you are killing me, from whom shall I seek help? Rama said to his brother Lakshmana, he's a great devotee. Then they found a crow was thirsty, but he did not drink any water, though he was near the water of Lake Pampa. He was calling. Rama said to Lakshmana, Lakshmana, see that bird, that crow. He is thirsty, but he is not drinking any water. So Lakshmana went and asked, Why do you not drink water? You are thirsty. Oh, no, I can't. Why? I shall miss my Lord. You see, if I go and drink water, that for the time being, I shall not be able to chant the name of the Lord. I am continuously chanting the name of the Lord, that I shall miss my time, so I can't do it. They are Juptatamam, and these are all stories, but it shows that, you know, what type of mind you should have. Your mind should be attached to God. You will have to think of God. Moreover, you must have love and devotion for Him. Shraddhavan, you must have faith in Him. Krishna says, that person is the supreme yogi. Some people misunderstand Vedanta. They think Vedanta is only pure knowledge. Knowledge and devotion, both are in Vedanta. Vedanta is not dry philosophy. Now first let me ask questions. If you wish, I finish the sixth chapter. You can ask me questions, you whatever you want to ask, I shall be glad to answer your questions. It is a very good question whether a yogi is a saint or not. You see, there are various kinds of yogis. Some yogis are saints. But the yogis, Krishna wanted Arjuna to be, that is called Karma Yogi, because he knew his nature. Karma Yoga purifies the mind, and that pure mind gradually attains the knowledge of oneness. You see, so long ignorance is in the mind, you will see duality. It is sure and certain. When this ignorance goes away, you will see one. So a Karma Yogi, he is a doer, he is acting, a duality is there. But when a person is beyond the duality, attains Nirvana, Samadhi, and comes back, he becomes saint. In the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, we see the nature of a saint, Sthita Prajna, the man of steady wisdom, steady knowledge, how he behaves, how he talks, how he lives in this world. Krishna told all those signs clearly. So all saints, you see, all yogis are not saints. Of course, they are advanced souls. As I told you, that the seven grades of consciousness. Whereas a yogi has reached the first stage or second stage or third stage, they have a gradation. Brahmavid Vara, Brahmavid Varian, Brahmavid Varishtha. Among the knower of Brahman also, there is a gradation. You have attained Samadhi only once in your life. Ramakrishna attained Samadhi 10 times a day. 20 times a day. You see, there are many doctors in town. Not each, every doctor is a good doctor. Suppose, I am sick, could you give me some medication? All right, try this one. So I went to the drugstore. They bought that medicine, it did not work. Again I called, oh, it did not work. All right, try this one. That means that doctor is no good. He has no confidence about himself. He has no confidence in medication too. If he is a real doctor, watch, he will listen carefully. Oh, go, take this medicine. You take it, it will cure you. That means he's top expert. He has tremendous conviction about himself. He knows his diagnosis is just right. And he will give you the right medication. Otherwise, well, try this one, try this one, try this one. As if seeing many trees, I am shooting at random. At least one in one tree it will hit. Eh? It does not work. Real yogi is that person whose mind dwells in God. The first chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, as I already told you, is called Vishada Yoga, chapter of grief. Some people read that chapter, they say, what is there? Well, the, you know, arrangement of army and this and that, which way some hue and cry, you know, something is going on, they are blowing conch and making noise. What is this? I don't find any philosophy in that first chapter. That is true. But that is the base of the Bhagavad Gita. Dukkhatike dharmer utpatti. Religion begins from suffering, from pain, from sorrow. If you read carefully, you will understand what the poetic beauty of the first chapter. Vyasa, the great sage, he is a poet. He wants the drama of Krishna and Arjuna on the stage. So he first set the stage. What is the stage? 11 million people there, 8 to 7 million people are there, face to face. 87, the soldiers, some are on the horses, some are on the elephants, some are on the chariot, some are on feet. There are four types of armies. Infantry, cavalry, then how elephant back, some on the chariots, charioteers. So if those who are on feet, they will fight against the infantry people. You know, in this way, they will fight. All colorful, you know, flags and all these things. It is a beautiful scene. You can imagine what is going on in that battlefield of Kurukshetra. The flag and they are blowing conch and they are claiming that we will get victory. I am the great warrior. They are proclaiming their chivalry. In the meantime, the commander-in-chief of the Pandava army, righteous party, came. Krishna was the charioteer of Arjuna, said, Senayor Ubhayur Madhye Ratham Sthapayo Me Achyuta, O Achyuta. Could you drive my chariot in between these two armies? I'd like to see who has come to fight with me. As if, you know, in his words, there is some kind of heroism. I like to see who has come to fight with me. They do not know who am I. I defeated Shiva. I defeated Indra. Even the gods are defeated by me. I have Pashupat weapon. In the twinkling of an eye, I can kill this 11 million people. I like to see who has come to fight with me. So Krishna obeyed. He drove his four horses. His chariot had pulled by four horses. So four white horses. So Krishna drove his chariot in between the army, between the armies. And then he saw it. Seeing that army, fear entered his mind. Shall I be able to win? First came fear. Then came delusion. What shall I gain from this war? If I win, what shall I gain? Killing my own relatives, cousins. No good. Two things worked in his mind. Delusion and fear. Thus, he collapsed. Within seven verses, Vyasa described the position of Krishna. Romo harshasya jayati. My hair is too dense. Body is shivering like, you know, malaria fever. My gandiva sramshate thasta tvak chaiva paridhajyate. That gandiva, the bow which he got from fire god, dropped from his hand on the ground. My lips are dry. What shall I do? Almost collapsing condition. That great hero Arjuna. You see, in battlefield, if you lose one hand, if there is any fracture, there is hope. But if your mind breaks, no hope for victory. You see, you know, nowadays, a radio, you know, people are working, fighting in the battlefield. Real fight is in the radio station. They declare that we destroyed 10 aeroplanes of Syria. Actually, perhaps they did two. They try to destroy the morale of the army. The real war goes on the radio station, you see. Propaganda. Just to, you know, subdue the minds of the armies. Who can do good propaganda? Then they are in the battlefield, they do not know what is going on. When they hear the radio news, they think, oh, then we are losing in the battle. Then they collapse, then the enemy will come and destroy. Don't lose the mind. That happened to Arjuna. Our fear. And now what to do? It is a terrible situation. Krishna was watching and Arjuna was giving sermon, long sermon. First chapter you will find Arjuna's sermon. And he said then, well, what shall I do? Krishna simply ends the first chapter. Shoko shak vigna manasa, just, you know, put the hands on the forehead. No hope. Like this way. Arjuna collapsed on the chariot. Arjuna, Krishna, what Krishna did? Tang tatha kripaya vishtam asripurna kulekshanam vishidantam idam vakyam uvacha madhusudana. He looked at him and said, what happened to you? You asked me to drive the chariot in between the armies, now you have collapsed. Klaibhyam asmagama partha naitattva yupapadyate shudram ridayo daurbulyam taktattishtha parantava kutastva kashmalamidam vishame samupasthitam anarja jushtam asargam akirti karamarjuna. What are you doing? Why did you get such kind of delusion and confusion at this critical moment of your life? Take all these things in your life. You are Arjuna. And this, your family life, this world is your battlefield. It is symbolical. Symbolic. What happened to you? Anarja jushtam asvargam. It is a very, very bad thing. Anarja jushtam. Uncivilized people behave like that. Anarja jushtam asvargam. You will not even go to heaven. Asvargam akirti. Your fame, your reputation will be destroyed. People know you are the unconquerable hero, invincible person. This type of unmanliness does not befit you, O Arjuna. Get up and fight. According to Swami Vivekananda, that is the central message of the Bhagavad Gita. Give up this faint-heartedness. Give up this cowardice. Give up this type of unmanliness. Stand up and fight. Face it. Face the brute. Face the devil. This is the beauty of the Bhagavad Gita. The dialogue between God and man. We get confused. But God is never confused. He always takes us to the right direction. Go. Go this way. This is the beauty. What is the seed of the Bhagavad Gita? That we find in the 11th verse of the 6th chapter of the Gita. Ashochananna shojastan prajnabadangsha bhasase gatasu anagatu sumsha nanu shochanti pangita. What a beautiful verse. The people who are not matter for grief and you are grieving for them. Ashochan, anna shochastan, and you are talking like a man of knowledge. And a wise man is never succumb to grief. Those who are dead or those who are alive, they do not care. Why are you so much upset? Arjuna said, Krishna, my mind is confused. I do not know what is right, what is wrong, what is virtue, what is vice. I am really confused. Shishyasteham shadimam tam prapannam. I want to be your disciple. Make me your disciple. Tell me, what shall I do? Whatever you will say, I shall obey. I really don't know what to do. Then the real Bhagavad Gita begins. He declared himself that I want to be your disciple. Whatever you will say, I shall do. Remove my delusion, remove my fear, remove my confusion. So, Krishna started to speak the Bhagavad Gita. What is the last kilakam? Means, kilakam, actually kilakam means latches. You know, you close the door with latches, that is called kilakam. The moment you open the latches, another person can get in the room and can see what is inside. So what is the mystery of the Bhagavad Gita? Krishna unveiled that mystery in the last part of the 18th chapter of the Gita. Sarva dharman purityajya mamekam sharanam braja aham tam sarva papebhyo mokshayishyami mashuchah. Give up all your duties, give up all your responsibilities, surrender to me. I shall protect you from all sins. Ma shucha. Grieve not. Do not grieve. That is the last part of the Gita. In the beginning, use your self-effort. Last, surrender. That is the way the Gita was set up. So long you have ego, you will have to struggle. When you see that ego, the function of the ego is over, at that time surrender, enjoy. When you are young, earn money. When you are old, enjoy your pension. That is the Gita setup of the Gita. Same principle. When you are young, strong enough, physically fit, mentally fit, earn money, save it. Old age, enjoy it. Your hard-earned money, your pension. Same thing. In the Bhagavad Gita. Arjuna talked, you see, the Bhagavad Gita has 700 verses. Arjuna talked only 18 times. 5 times he prayed and eulogized Krishna. 13 times he asked questions. 4 times he asked genuine questions. Sometimes he expressed his doubts. He could not understand what Krishna said. What are those 4 direct questions of Arjuna? Sthita prajnasya ka bhasha samadhisthisya keshava sthitadi kim prabhasheita kimasita vrajitu kim. You talked about knowledge, man of knowledge. Could you tell me the science of that man of knowledge, man of steady wisdom? How does he behave? How does he speak? How does he live? How does he move? I like to know. I always remind you, please read that last few verses of the second chapter of the Gita, where Krishna describes the man of a steady wisdom and compare. Do I have all these qualities? Do I have all those qualities? Do I have all those qualities? Put Gita on your life and experiment it. You see, Gita and Upanishad, do you know what is the difference? In the Upanishad, there is advice. And in the Gita, there is demonstration of that advice. In Gita, the teachings of Gita is mysterious, very deep. You will have to meditate quite a bit to enter into insight if you want to get the essence of the Upanishad. Bhagavad Gita is very clean, simple. It is exhibited in the window. Through the window, you can see it, what is going on. In a conversation way. Upanishad also is set up in a conversation, well, some Upanishads. But Bhagavad Gita has some special feeling, you know, which is a very pragmatic philosophy. That is the first question. Second question, in the third chapter, why does the people commit sin? That is a beautiful question Arjuna asked. But under what compulsion does a man commit sin, O Krishna, in spite of himself and driven, as it were, by force? Krishna said, it is desire, it is wrath, which springs from rajas. Know that this is our enemy here, all devouring and the cause of all sin. As fire is concealed by smoke, as a mirror by dust, as an unborn babe by the womb, so is knowledge concealed by ignorance. Enveloped is knowledge, O son of Kunti, by the insatiable fire of desire, which is the constant foe of the wise. The senses, the mind, and the understanding are said to be its seat. Through these, it veils knowledge and deludes the embodied self. In this way, Krishna described that how this lust and anger cover the mind of a person and forces him to commit sin. third time, Krishna again asked the question, mind is restless, what shall I do? That is in the sixth chapter, we read it. Only one way you can do it. There are two disciplines, repetition of practice and non-attachment, dispassion. Practice and dispassion. Practice and dispassion. These are the two ways you can control your unruly, uncontrolled, terrible mind. Then Krishna heard about it. And he said, what happens to the yogi who could not make it in his life? You see, it is in his own mind that I am in matured state. Very little time is left in my life. If I start to practice yoga right now, shall I be able to make it? And if I cannot make it, what will happen? You see, it is a very vital question. Krishna says, no problem. Where you are, from there you will start. It does not depend upon age. He says, first stage, second stage, I told you the other day, the Shapta Bhumika, yogis, seven stages of yoga. First you made this life first stage or second stage. What will happen in the next life? You will begin from that second stage. You will not have to begin from the first stage. As I told you, from here you are driving to California. First day you went up to Kansas City. Second day, will you start again from St. Louis? No, you will start from Kansas City. Third day you went to Denver, Colorado. So again, third day, will you again start from Kansas City? No, Kansas City is over, St. Louis. St. Louis, Kansas City, they are over. You have passed over that. You have all experience of Kansas City, you have all experience of St. Louis. Now you have the experience of Denver. Then go to the next, Arizona. Then you go to California. Have all these experiences. You will not have to come to get experience again in St. Louis because you are finished. That is the way yogi goes. That Krishna says, nothing is lost. Whatever you have achieved in this life, that is your net profit. That will stay with you. You may be, then he said, next life you will be born in with rich parents. Then you will start yoga from that state. Or you may be born in the house of a yogi. From the very beginning of your life, you will get chance to practice yoga. In this way, Krishna mentioned in the sixth chapter. Then Arjuna's doubts are also there. We find in the third chapter, Krishna, you say knowledge is great. And again you say karma is great. And you are asking me to practice karma yoga. Why should I do karma yoga? This doubt came in his mind. Again Krishna told him that you know they are very talented people who think the path of action and path of knowledge are different. They are not really different. Their goal is the same, God. Then he built that arch and showed that look how both coincide here. It depends upon the nature. You are a man of action. You love activity, full of rajas, full of energy inside. If I ask, come and meditate with me 2 hours, you will feel uncomfortable. But if I say, go do some activities, help the poor, help the destitute, help some people, those who seek help, you feel good. You think your labor is fruitful. Your energy is fruitful. But gradually, when your, rajas will subside, then the sattva quality will arise. At that time, you will enjoy meditation. Yogastha guru karmani sangam taktva dhananjaya siddha siddhu samabhutva samattam yoga uchati. Perform yoga, being immersed in yoga, perform action, O Arjuna. Be even in victory and defeat, praise and blame, happiness and misery, heat and cold. The equanimity of the mind is called yoga. You see, everybody will have to work in this world. Do you know what is the difference between a work of a jnani and work of an ignorant person? Let me give an example. If I shout, that is also my voice. My voice comes to that shouting, yelling, quarreling. That is the play of my voice. That is also sound which coming from my voice. And I can also sing with melodious voice, with rhythm, with meter. That is also voice. So quarreling is also his voice, human voice, or music also is human voice. The Gyanis Karma is just like music. It has a beautiful melody. And Agyanis Karma, high, shouting, yelling, I did this. You know, so many things to do, so many things to do. He will go and advertise everybody that he is doing some work. That is Agyan. He is shouting. Work is very little. He is shouting is more. But Gyanis Karma is just like music. There is tremendous rhythm. Silently, he works silently with the rhythm. That is the difference between Gyani and Agyani. Man of knowledge and man of ignorance. In the fourth chapter, we find, third chapter is Karma Yoga, fourth chapter is Jnana Yoga, where Krishna described first the mystery of avatar, divine incarnation. Then he mentioned Karmir Kaushal, the secret of action, Yoga Karmasu Kaushalam. The skill of action is called Yoga. How a person with minimum time can produce maximum work through concentration. That is the only secret. That concentration is the byproduct of meditation. People meditate for God realization. As a byproduct, he gets concentration. With that concentration, he finishes his dishes in which other person takes 1 hour, he finishes it in 15 minutes. Remaining 45 minutes, he spends for meditation. That is the yogi. Some people are working as if their year consists of 18 months. Did you notice some people? Slow. Their hands do not move it. 18 months, their 1 year means 18 months. Hopeless. The yogi works with the alert mind. Fast. Finish it. That Krishna said, Karmir Kausha. Make every action. This karma originates from Brahman. Then he described Yajna Prakaran. Everything is sacrifice. Everything is worship. Your dishwashing is also his worship. Cleaning the bathroom is also worship. Mowing the lawn is also worship. Everything is worship. This home belongs to the Lord. I am his caretaker. I must keep everything beautiful, tight, neat, clean. That means, that shows, external work shows that your mind also neat, clean, organized. If outside if you are unorganized, your inside means unorganized. When outside and inside, a yogi sees. His action shows that what type of person he is. Swami Brahmananda used to ask the monks in Belur Monastery that you peel the potato and bring the potato and potato skin to me. And the monks had to carry potato and potato skin. So taking one potato and skin, he said, this boy gets good meditation. He peeled the potato in such a way, there is not too much flesh with the skin. And it is uniform. That means his mind is well-disciplined, well-trained. That your external action shows your inside. Some people in office, they work haphazardly. Some people you will find their table is neat. Just everything is going on smoothly. First preference, second preference, all the table you will find his office files are there. First preference, second preference, third preference. He takes one after another, finish it. One after another, finish it. That means he knows the skill of action. He is a yogi. He may be in his office, you may be in the kitchen. It doesn't matter. The path of action is mysterious, that Krishna also explained in the fourth chapter. In the fifth chapter, Karma Sannyas, renunciation of action. How does a yogi renounce the fruits of action to God? That Krishna mentioned in the fifth chapter. Iyo eva tvarjito sargo isam samya sthitam mana nirdosham isamam brahma. Tasmat Brahmani Teisthitaha. That person conquered in this very life the relativity of this world, whose mind is established in the self-same Atman. He is beyond the pairs of opposites. He is beyond the the virtue beyond the virtue and vice, happiness and unhappiness, his mind is all dwells always in Brahman. He says this knowledge of Brahman purifies the mind. Jugaya judyasya, judhaya judyasya. Krishna also mentioned, sometimes you will find, practice yoga, be a yogi. Again he says, go and fight. So Krishna's words are contradictory. Sometimes he says, be a yogi, sometimes he says, go and fight. Confusing. Krishna says, no. If you are a real karma yogi, you can do both. You know, you have seen some musical. They sing and dance together. Same time. Singing and dancing. You can cook and repeat your mantra too. You can mop the lawn. You can mow the lawn. At the same time, you can chant also. You can glorify God. One can keep his mind in God. At the same time, he can work. So Krishna says, Mam anushmara yuddhacha. Remember me and fight. Remember me and fight. You will never lose in the battle of life. That is the beautiful message of Krishna. Mam anusmara. Mam is amake, me. Anusmara, remember. Yuddha cha, and fight. You will never lose in the battle of life. So, I told you in brief, the six chapters of the Gita, the summary of the six chapters of the Gita. Then, we shall start seventh chapter when I shall come back. Om asato ma sadgamaya tamaso ma jyotirgamaya mrittor ma amritam gamaya abir abirma yedhi rudrayate dakshinam mukam tenamam pahi nityam om shanti shanti shantihim. Lead us from the unreal to the real. Lead us from darkness to light. Lead us from death to immortality. Light us through and through, and guide us evermore with thy loving presence. Peace, peace, peace be unto all.